Chapter 1. Foreign Security Force Threat Fundamentals. This year's spring operation, in accordance with its combat nature, will consist of special military tactics, while successful insider attacks to eliminate foreign invaders will be carried out by infiltrating Mujahideen inside enemy bases in a systematic and coordinated manner. Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, Spring 2013, Offensive Statement. The Foreign Security Force, FSF, threat is not a new phenomenon. However, during recent limited contingency operations, U.S. forces experienced a sharp increase in the number of attacks perpetrated by FSFs. This chapter introduces the FSF threat by exploring its context, causation, and methods. It also facilitates shared understanding and dialogue by defining relevant terms. Armed with this knowledge, soldiers and leaders will be better positioned to properly implement the threat prevention and defeat techniques described in subsequent chapters. Characteristics of the Foreign Security Force threat. A FSF threat is the potential for violence posed by FSFs working with or granted access to U.S. service members, civilians, or contractors. An FSF threat attack is a violent act perpetrated against a U.S. service member, civilian, or contractor by a FSF member or members who have access to U.S. service members, civilians, or contractors. Foreign security forces are those forces, including, but not limited to, military, paramilitary, police, and intelligence forces, border police, Coast Guard, and customs officials, and prison guards and correctional personnel that provide security for a host nation and its relevant population, or support a regional security organization's mission. FM3-22. FSFs may belong to the host nation government, belong with a paramilitary organization, or consist of a third party's contribution to a multinational operation. When operating in an expeditionary, multi-partner environment, the potential for a violent attack by FSFs increases significantly, since they operate alongside U.S. service members and civilians. This threat has proven particularly challenging during protracted limited contingency operations in which U.S. forces work with FSFs to stabilize a fragile state by advising and assisting its security or police forces. Often referred to as green-on-blue violence, or an inside-the-wire attack, FSF attacks are characterized by speed, surprise, shock, opportunity, and violence. The attacks often occur quickly and without warning, intending to shock both local security forces and a wider audience through their brazen nature. The opportunity for these attacks exists once FSFs have access to U.S. forces or facilities and can operate closely with them. Whether successful or not, FSF attacks seek to directly kill or injure U.S. service members or civilians. These attacks can take many forms, such as assassinations, mass shootings, suicide bombings, and vehicle-borne improvised explosive device, also called VBIED, attacks. Often notable for their brazen and irrational nature, attackers show little regard for their own safety or the threat of capture. An attacker often has intended victims and will seek them out during an attack. However, attackers will also accept targets of opportunity and will likely continue the attack after finding intended victims. As such, an attacker will often continue attacking throughout buildings or compounds until stopped by U.S. forces, FSFs, or suicide. FSF attacks generally target U.S. forces during periods of perceived security. Attackers often intend to use the element of surprise to exploit vulnerable soldiers and maximize lethality. Attacks often occur at locations where U.S. service members believe they are safe and have little reason to expect an enemy attack. Potential locations for FSF attacks include U.S. or FSF bases, host nation government buildings, or intergovernmental or non-governmental organization facilities. Attacks may also occur at training events, such as at a small arms range or during combined operations. FSF attacks serve multiple purposes for an enemy force. At the strategic level, these attacks are a form of messaging. They communicate to an international audience that U.S. efforts are failing and lack the support of either the host nation or multinational partners. This messaging may be an effort to undermine national will by upsetting the U.S. domestic population and influencing decision makers to adjust or abandon strategic objectives. In the past, these attacks have undermined national will by persuading foreign leaders to alter national policy. For example, in 2012, an FSF attack in Afghanistan that killed four French soldiers resulted in the French government temporarily suspending all partnerships and training operations in Afghanistan. At the operational level, threats use these attacks to degrade or impede interoperability by altering the acceptable level of risk requisite for multinational operations. Tactically, FSF attacks erode the trust and cohesion necessary for U.S. service members to work alongside FSFs to achieve common objectives. The Soviet Union in Afghanistan. The foreign security force threat is not a recent phenomenon. It has been employed throughout history by disadvantaged military forces attempting to defeat a stronger enemy force. In March 1979, Ismail Khan, a captain in the Afghan army, orchestrated the murder of 50 Soviet military advisors and 300 of their family members in Herat Province, Afghanistan. After beheading many of his victims, Khan placed the severed heads on spikes and paraded them through the city as a warning to both the Soviet Union and the local population. The atrocity served as an impetus for the Soviet Union's full-scale invasion of Afghanistan in December of that year. The FSF threat primarily exists in expeditionary environments, posing the greatest risk to those units and personnel performing security force assistance, SFA, stability, or counterinsurgency operations. These operations require close contact and integration with FSFs, thereby expanding a threat force's opportunity to attack. They also require an extensive amount of cross-cultural communication, compromise, and understanding, increasing the potential for personal or cultural conflict. In these environments, attackers often seek opportunities where U.S. forces are particularly exposed, where senior leaders are present, or where ceremonies or key events occur, to make a strategic statement. Key leader engagements, KLEs, graduation ceremonies, parades, and high-profile training events illustrate potential high-value targets, also called HVTs, for an FSF attack. A high-value target is a target the enemy commander requires for the successful completion of the mission. JP3-60. FSF attacks often target senior leaders to draw additional attention to an attack by elevating its profile. The presence of leaders may entice an attacker to act. Units planning for KLEs and similar events consider risks and accommodations. Historical evidence reveals the FSF threat is most prevalent during stability operations. During these operations, U.S. forces work closely with FSFs to reestablish security and essential services, often presenting a greater opportunity for an attack. Between 2008 and 2017, 96 FSF attacks were carried out against U.S. or multinational forces conducting stability operations in Afghanistan. These attacks resulted in approximately 152 U.S. or multinational deaths and over 200 wounded personnel. However, this does not mean that attacks are limited to specific missions or phases. Instead, the potential for an FSF threat exists anytime U.S. forces are partnered with FSF and can occur during operations to shape, prevent, or win during large-scale combat operations. Jordanian soldier kills three U.S. soldiers. In November 2016, three U.S. soldiers were shot and killed by a Jordanian soldier as their vehicle approached the entry control point at the King Faisal Air Base in southern Jordan. The soldiers were returning to the base in a four-vehicle convoy after completing a training mission as part of the U.S. effort to defeat the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. The attacker, Mariq Al-Tawaya, claimed he believed the convoy presented a threat. However, in video footage recovered from the scene, he is seen reloading his weapon after the Americans identified themselves as friendly. Although his motive was unclear, Al-Tawaya was found guilty of voluntary manslaughter, violating military orders, and insulting the dignity and reputation of the Jordanian armed forces. In July 2017, he received a life sentence. This incident is an important reminder that foreign security force, FSF threats, are not limited to counterinsurgency or stability operations and can occur anytime U.S. forces partner closely with FSFs. This includes during operations to shape or prevent, where an enemy may exploit the perceived lack of an active threat to surprise U.S. forces. Causation. The Army uses 6 categories to classify FSF attacks: personal, ideological, reactionary, criminal, enemy, and general. These categories assist in understanding the motives behind FSF attacks and can aid in detecting a potential threat. The categories are not mutually exclusive, and an attack can often be classified in 2 or more categories at once. For example, an FSF member may have a dispute with a U.S. service member, personal, while simultaneously beginning to sympathize with an extremist organization and its cause, ideological. There are many reasons why FSFs may decide to attack. However, they are usually motivated by a trigger that falls into one of the categories listed in the following paragraphs. Personal. A personal attack occurs when an FSF member acts intentionally yet independently as an individual attacker, without direct guidance, command, or pre-planning from external entities. Such attacks account for most violent incidents between U.S. service members and FSFs, and they are often motivated by personal grievances, cultural animosity, or misunderstanding. A personal attack may also be caused by a specific grievance with U.S. or partnered forces. This is particularly true when U.S. forces kill or detain a host nation soldier's family member, relative, or close friend. A study conducted during protracted contingency operations in Afghanistan found that many FSF attacks were motivated by personal grievances, cultural animosity, or disrespect. The study revealed that these attacks usually occurred once an FSF member became belligerent after a disagreement or perceived sociocultural transgression committed by a U.S. service member. It also indicated that attacks may be caused by simple personality conflicts, disparate standard operating procedures, such as disarming FSF members when they enter a U.S. base, or not allowing FSF vehicles to pass U.S. convoys, or the use of offensive language. Offensive language, even when not directed at an FSF member, unit, or nationality, may upset an FSF member enough to prompt an attack. Soldiers need to start and maintain relationships with FSF members by demonstrating positive behaviors. Ethnocentric behavior or xenophobic attitudes may intensify tensions originating from operational disparities that cannot be adjusted. Effective leaders ensure their soldiers conduct themselves as professionals by respecting foreign cultures when operating alongside FSFs. This is best accomplished by treating FSFs as peers and partners, not subordinates. Combat stress can escalate seemingly trivial personal disputes into violent attacks. This is particularly true for host nation security forces, HNSF, experiencing combat in their homeland. Often these soldiers are additionally stressed as their families, friends, and relatives experience the privations of combat. U.S. service members must recognize this by showing empathy for host nation soldiers and their challenges of fighting a war in their homeland. Personal attacks may be prevented by proactive and engaged leaders. Effective leaders identify personality conflicts or disputes between soldiers and FSF members and proactively work to resolve conflicts. Leaders should also remove or transfer soldiers who lack the interpersonal skills, maturity, or emotional intelligence to work alongside FSFs. A comprehensive cultural awareness training program will help soldiers understand how to behave alongside both FSFs and the local population. This training can be provided by FSFs and may serve as a healthy cultural exchange between partnered units. Finally, leaders look for and recognize the signs of combat stress in both their soldiers and partnered forces, ensuring that soldiers receive adequate rest and relaxation to mitigate the effects of combat. Attacker motivated by family members' detention. On September 29, 2008, one U.S. soldier was killed and 2 were injured at an Afghan National Police station when an Afghan National Policeman attacked their patrol in Paktia Province. The incident occurred after the patrol gained access to the station and soldiers were conducting security force assistance operations. The attacker opened fire without warning, but was quickly killed by U.S. service members. It was later determined that the attacker's brother was a member of the Taliban and had recently been captured by U.S. forces. The soldiers' quick reaction, awareness, and aggressive posture likely prevented additional casualties. Ideological. An ideological attack occurs when an FSF member is radicalized by an extremist ideology that encourages attacks for religious, political, or other ideological reasons. See ATP 3-37.2 for additional information on ideological considerations and categories. The individual may exhibit intense hatred of those who do not ascribe to their belief system and may focus their attention on the more radical or extreme elements of their ideology. Ideologically motivated threats are similar to personal threats in that an individual may adopt them without external support. However, an individual will likely be influenced by extremist media or propaganda during the radicalization process. Ideologically motivated attackers may demonstrate indicators of their potential for violent action as they progress through the radicalization process. An indicator is a behavior, action, or event that precedes an attack. Individuals undergoing radicalization may become so consumed by their extremist ideology that they cannot conceal the changes associated with it and often present behavioral indicators. Potential indicators of an ideologically motivated threat include individuals complaining about other nations, religions, or cultures, defending radical groups or ideologies, and isolating themselves from the group or unit. Reactionary. A reactionary attack occurs when an FSF member responds to a local, regional, or international event by attacking U.S. or partnered forces. FSF members may react violently to any number of events or issues. They may take offense to a U.S. policy decision or statement towards their country, region, or tribe. Culturally inflammatory acts like the desecration of religious materials or sites can also trigger an attack. Likewise, threats or insults to religious leaders may spark violence. Finally, a culturally offensive incident that occurs outside the joint operations area but resonates personally may become cause for an attack. However, civilian casualties attributed to U.S. or partnered forces are often the greatest motivation for reactionary attacks. Leaders and soldiers must be aware that such events may trigger an attack and adjust their protective posture to mitigate the increased risk. Religious materials inspires attack. On February 12, 2012, Afghan National Police Lieutenant Abdul Sabor killed two U.S. officers at the Ministry of the Interior in Kabul, Afghanistan. He shot both officers in the head while they worked at their desks in the ministry. Although the office doors were equipped with cipher locks, the officers enjoyed cordial relations with their Afghan counterparts and left their door open to encourage others to enter. After the incident, Lieutenant Sabor claimed that he attacked the officers in response to an inadvertent Quran burning that occurred earlier in the year. The attack resulted in the International Security Assistance Force Afghanistan, known as ISAF, withdrawing its advisors from the Ministry of the Interior for several weeks. Lieutenant Sabor's attack may have been prevented had the officers followed proper force protection protocols by closing and locking their office door. Criminal. Criminal attacks occur when an FSF member is at risk of being discovered in the planning or commitment of a criminal act. An FSF member may also attack in an effort to safeguard an ongoing criminal enterprise from discovery or interruption. Effective leaders and soldiers understand that extreme corruption is a crime, and corrupt FSF members may turn to violence to protect corrupt practices or the benefits accrued from them. See FM 3-39 for additional information on criminal threats and crimes' effects on an operational environment. Corrupt officer attacks U.S. Air Force advisors. On April 27, 2011, Colonel Ahmed Gul, an Afghan National Air Force pilot with over 20 years of military service, had a verbal dispute with his United States Air Force advisors that resulted in the death of 8 advisors and 1 U.S. civilian. The argument erupted when Colonel Gul was denied the personal use of government aircraft by his U.S. Air Force advisors. After the argument became increasingly hostile, and the advisors refused to allow him to use the aircraft, Colonel Gul left the room. Upon return, he drew his service pistol disarmed the U.S. Air Force advisors, and proceeded to shoot and kill all 9 personnel. 5 Afghan National Security Force, known as ANSF, soldiers were wounded, and 1 was killed as they fled by jumping out of windows to escape. A quick reaction force responded to the incident, but Colonel Gul committed suicide before it could neutralize the attack. The Taliban later claimed responsibility for the attack. However, no evidence of Taliban influence or cooperation was discovered. This incident has characteristics of both a criminal and personal attack. The incident is criminal in that Colonel Gul was attempting to violate Afghan National Air Force regulations by using government aircraft for personal use, and he was so incensed by objections to this practice that he decided to attack 8 U.S. Air Force advisors. The incident is personal because it arose out of a verbal disagreement between U.S. service members and Foreign Security Forces, FSFs. Of the 9 victims, 4 were majors, and 1 was a lieutenant colonel. At the time, this single attack accounted for over half of all U.S. Air Force deaths in Afghanistan. Although it is difficult to discern when a dispute will evolve into an attack, had the U.S. Air Force advisors recognized the escalatory nature of the disagreement and intervened by disarming Colonel Gul, the incident may have had a different outcome. It is also possible that Colonel Gul was offended by being countermanded by subordinate officers. In these instances, U.S. advisors should recognize the nuances associated with partnering between different ranks, and they should be sensitive to the potential for embarrassment and humiliation when senior FSF officers have disagreements with lower-ranking U.S. advisors. If possible, these disagreements should occur behind closed doors and with as small an audience as possible. Enemy. Enemy attacks occur when a FSF member is influenced by or is a member of an enemy organization. This type of attack often occurs when conducting counterinsurgency operations, as an insurgent force may attempt to co-opt, infiltrate, or impersonate FSFs to gain and exploit access to U.S. forces. These attacks may also occur when FSF members believe the current security situation favors enemy forces, and they switch sides out of self-interest. Co-option is a process an enemy, insurgent, or terrorist organization uses for recruiting an existing Foreign Security Force member. Recruiting an existing FSF member is appealing, as it may circumvent the initial screening and vetting required for new recruits. Recruitment may occur by or through ideological pressure, financial incentives, intimidation, or social ties. An enemy force may also co-opt FSF members by capitalizing on an existing grievance an individual may have with U.S. forces. Co-option can take a grander form, in which accommodation or cooperation exists between entire FSF units and enemy or insurgent forces. An enemy force may recruit potential attackers without completely co-opting them into an enemy or insurgent organization. This recruitment is often driven by financial incentives, not ideological underpinnings, as an enemy force may simply pay an FSF member to attack U.S. forces. This is perhaps the most difficult threat to detect, because an FSF member acting for financial gain may not show any behavioral indicators. Taliban co-opts Afghan border policeman. On November 29, 2010, Ezatullah Wazirol, an Afghan border policeman, attacked U.S. soldiers in Nangarhar province. The soldiers were training on a small arms range with an Afghan border police unit when the attack occurred. Wazirwal waited until lunch, when the soldiers removed their personal protective equipment, PPE, to launch his attack. He fired on a group of soldiers and killed 6 before he was killed by return fire. Wazirwal and his brother joined the Afghan border police 3 years earlier, in response to Taliban actions in their home province. He even went so far as to relocate his family to an urban area to avoid Taliban intimidation. Wazirwal had an impeccable service record and demonstrated no indicators prior to the attack. However, he had recently returned from leave, and while at home he spent time with his uncles who had fought with the Taliban. It is believed that Wazirwal's family co-opted him to use his position of trust to attack U.S. forces. The proper wear of PPE and the use of armed security overwatch or guardian angels may have prevented or mitigated the results of this attack. Units are also encouraged to carefully observe foreign security force members for threat indicators after they return from leave. In addition to co-option, an enemy force may infiltrate FSFs to gain access and conduct attacks. Infiltration occurs when an existing enemy fighter clandestinely joins an FSF through the standard recruitment process. However, infiltration removes a fighter from the enemy's ranks and puts that fighter at risk during recruitment, vetting, and training. As such, a successful infiltrator is likely to be much more competent and experienced than an average recruit and may be used in a more effective manner by an enemy force. Although infiltrators may still conduct singular attacks, they may use their experience and training to collect information on U.S. forces or to target senior leaders over time. Assessing the level of possible infiltration in an organization is difficult, as infiltrators will seek to remain undetected until they attack. An enemy soldier may also impersonate an FSF member to gain access and attack U.S. forces. Impersonation occurs when existing enemy soldiers pose as FSF members to circumvent force protection or access control measures and gain access to U.S. forces or facilities. Enemy soldiers may simply dress in FSF uniforms and present counterfeit badges at access control points. Impersonation is often more effective and easier to accomplish than co-option or infiltration, since FSF uniforms and identification credentials may be easily replicated. Co-option may accompany impersonation if actual FSF members assist an enemy with obtaining uniforms or badges. Impersonation rarely occurs without some level of facilitation, complicity, or awareness by FSF members. This facilitation may include providing an identification badge, escorting an individual onto a base, or simply knowing of the attacker's intentions to target U.S. forces. Biometric screening at access control points may prevent enemy forces from successfully impersonating FSFs and gaining access to U.S. forces. General. An FSF attack may occur for reasons that do not easily fit within a single category. An underlying mental illness or drug addiction may cause an otherwise sound actor to attack. However, mentally ill people may exhibit many indicators before they commit an attack. These symptoms can include various psychosocial impairments, including severe stress or anxiety. The most prominent symptoms include unwarranted angry outbursts, isolation, or dramatic changes in behavior. Tensions within FSF rank structure may also serve as the motive for an attack. At times lacking a robust non-commissioned officer corps, an FSF may be plagued by tensions between officers and enlisted personnel, stemming from inequality, disrespect, or a lack of pay. At worst, senior FSF officers may abuse, extort, or steal from their enlisted members, exploiting the trust necessary for a unit to function effectively. These issues may originate from, or be exaggerated by, tribal, political, or familial factions that compete with each other for limited resources, power, or influence in a particular region. If U.S. forces fail to address these excesses, or are believed to be facilitating them, attackers may turn their frustrations against U.S. forces in the form of violence. Units operating in security environments where corruption is prevalent must recognize its potential to undermine leadership and cause an attack. Disparities and tension may also exist between various branches of a nation's security apparatus, with friction rife among military, paramilitary, and police organizations. These conflicts may stem from the inequitable distribution of resources or equipment among the organizations. They may also arise out of jurisdictional disputes between organizations, with varying units competing to be the dominant force in an area or region. In these instances, it is imperative that U.S. forces proactively attempt to resolve the conflict by bridging the divide between disputing FSF units. Failing to do so may lead to animosity between FSF units being redirected against U.S. forces. If animosity exists between a partnered unit and another FSF organization, then units conducting SFA operations may be targeted for an attack simply by their association with a partnered unit. This is particularly true if an FSF unit believes U.S. forces show favoritism to their partnered unit, while the other organization receives little assistance. Attacker motivated by abuse. On November 2, 2009, an Afghan national policeman in Helmand Province fired on International Security Assistance Force Afghanistan, ISAF, soldiers, killing 5 British soldiers and wounding 6 other ISAF members. The attack occurred immediately after a serious dispute with ISAF forces. The attacker escaped on a motorcycle and was not located during subsequent operations. Afterwards, it was learned that the policeman had been abused, sodomized, and sexually molested by a senior Afghan national police officer that he believed was protected by the British soldiers. The policeman had also expressed frustration with inadequate and inconsistent pay.